Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. My name is David Landjuli, and I'm here with my good friend and partner, Janice Cunning. And Janice, we have a lovely guest today from Atlanta, Crystal Cherry. Hey, Crystal.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Welcome. Hey, Crystal, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, what you do and your organization and who you help?
Sure. So I live in Atlanta, Georgia, as you mentioned, and I am a recovering fundraiser, having been in the nonprofit sector for 20 plus years, working as a fundraiser, primarily in higher ed in the first part of my career, and then moved into faith-based services and groups and organizations, and then moved into human services. And then needed a break and decided that I would consult. I worked with a consulting firm for over a year and taught some classes, and then decided to hang out my own shingle and wanted to do something a little different. So I just kept thinking, how can I still have an impact in this sector? How can I continue to support nonprofits? You know, use the gifts that I've learned all these years, monetize it so I can make a living and have a rewarding career. And I just kept thinking about the top, who is at the top of the organization matters. And they are the ones that can make a break, experience for staff, experience for donors, experience for volunteers. And so I decided that I was going to work with boards. And because I figured if we can go in and we can train the board and we can train the top leadership of the nonprofit, that will permeate down and we'll see some effective change go into place. And so I thought, that's where I'm going to land. And I'm so glad I did, because it's, first of all, it's a great space. If there's definitely a need, I enjoy the work and people seem to be real grateful for the training and the advice and the counsel that I provide for them. So it was a good move.
Great. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So, and I also want to put a plug, actually, Crystal, the way that we got connected was you were also a contributor to the great book, Collecting Courage.
Yes.
And I was at the book launch, and I think that was actually the first time I saw you. And I said to David, we have to get her on the podcast to talk about something.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on the podcast. And that was a fortuitous meeting between the two of you. So we're so happy to have you. And you wrote a thoughtful and somewhat provocative article that we posted on the Fundraising Leadership blog yes. site called When It's Time to Go, Firing Crummy Board Members. So you're working with boards. We all know that boards, like leadership teams, can have dysfunction in them. So why don't you share a little bit about the article and what it, you know, how you help boards and what it, like, it's very uncomfortable to have to deal with a crummy board member.
Yeah. And you know what, maybe the best place to start is just like what are some of the most common issues that you see that make someone a quote unquote crummy board member?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, probably number one is apathy. Yeah. You know, some board members, particularly they've been serving for a long time, they're just bored and not engaged anymore.
A bored board member. Wow.
Yes. It is time for them to go. And the organization and or the chair are not really adhering to the terms. Everyone's comfortable. You know, John's been on the board for 15 years. He's a pillar here. And we don't want to make any changes, even though he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing anymore. We like it the way it is, because we're all comfortable where we are. So I think apathy is probably the biggest challenge that I see for board members. And, you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go. No one, and this is what I tell board members when I'm doing my training, because I'm a New Yorker, I'm a straight shooter. And I tell my clients when they bring me on, if you're looking for light and fluffy, I'm not your chick, right? And so I'm going to come straight at you.
No, they come to me, Crystal, for light and fluffy, right, Janice? Because yeah, I'm David, so light and fluffy.
David's also a New Yorker, right?
I'm also a New Yorker.
Yeah.
So I feel your light and fluffy pain.
Yes. No, I'm a straight shooter. And I tell them, like, you've hired me to bring you some truth, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and they're appreciative. And many times they'll come to me and say, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that. I couldn't say it, but you know, you could. And so I'm real, real clear and unapologetic when I tell a board member, it's just time for you to go. You know, and you say so in a way that's not hurtful. You know, you just let them know, you know, it's just not a good time in your life anymore. You don't seem to be as engaged. Maybe you don't have the time, whatever it is, it's okay. This is not personal. We appreciate the time that you've put in. Like, you've been on this board for 10 years. You've probably connected this organization to all of your friends and colleagues. You've raised money. You've been to events. It's okay. So we're going to bless and release you, and it's okay. And we're going to continue to have a great relationship with you and sing your song about what you've done on this board and for this organization, but it's time for you to make room for someone else. Yeah. And that's it. And so, you know, you'll get the red faces and the, you know, the crazy stares, but it's okay. It just has to be done.
Yeah. Well, I think what really struck me, and, you know, and I've been on a number of boards, and I've been on association boards, which have a different flavor. But I've been on a very grassroots new, association board. And then I've been on a very big, you know, kind of professional association board. So I have, like, it's interesting to contrast. And then I've also been locally on a coaching board here. And the one thing that really struck me, Crystal, was that I think we discount is that the high performing board members are impacted. So can you talk a bit about that? Because I think that's the thing. It's like, if we have people who have overstayed their welcome or it's just not the right time, what is the impact that you see on the rest of the board?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that Simone mentions in her book. And this was the impetus, as I shared with you guys earlier, this is the impetus for the article, Firing Lousy Board Members. And she talks about, you know, that we really do a disservice to those who are doing the work, right? Those who are performing and those who are invested, engaged. They see what's going on. They see that there's three or four board members that are not pulling their weight, that are just kind of sitting around, that they're sapping the room of energy, you know, by being negative Nellies or always having something to say that's not really appropriate or just not really being participatory in a meeting. They see what's going on. And the fact that this is permitted is really a disservice to those who are coming, who are investing the time. And being a board member is kind of a privilege. You know, it's nice. It is a resume builder. And why should that person continue to get all that, you know, all the credit when they're not really doing the work? And so we don't want to discourage those who are performing and those who are engaged by allowing others to sap the room of energy that's needed to keep the work going. And so I think it's really important that we, you know, that we give our due diligence to everyone, to those who are working and then to those who are not working. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I don't suggest you walk in a room and just kind of fire everyone. That's not how it works. You know, after you do an assessment of who's doing the work and who's not, you know, you come up with your list and then you come up with a plan. Like, let's talk to Jim. Let's talk to Louise. Let's talk to Sam about what's going on, to see what's going on in their lives, to see if this is a good time, to see if maybe it's the right time for them to step down. And if they say no, that they're still engaged, I would like to be involved. I just kind of feel like no one's really putting me to work, or I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. Or, you know, I feel like, you know, and there are lots of means. We have to take some responsibility. A lot of times meetings don't start on time. You know, you don't have the agenda until the last minute. You don't give people an opportunity to read the reports in ample time. I mean, all that stuff should be sent at least a week ahead. And I know from having worked at nonprofits that often from the inside, we're making copies, you know, the staff, we're making copies. We're trying to get those packets together when the board is coming. Sometimes we don't get them to them until like the day before or the morning of. And they don't have time to read the documents to be prepared. So we have to take some responsibility inside the organization too, for what might be going on with the board member. We have to honor their time. We have to give them time to read those reports. Honor their time and not having 3-hour board meetings, right? Who wants to sit in a 3-hour meeting after you've worked all day? Mm-hmm. Or even if it's on a weekend, you know, you got kids, you got things going on. You don't want to spend a 3-hour, I mean, unless it's a retreat or something, but I'm just talking about a regular meeting. We suggest should be about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours top. But I have been in 3 and 4 hour board meetings and I've resigned. I cannot give 4 hours. First of all, my brain is too full and I can't pay attention for 4 hours. Most people have, and this is what I tell my board, you know, I say, my board clients, I say, listen, we have thousands of things going on in our brain. You know, we have all kinds of commitments and responsibilities. We got family here. We got the job here. We got the kids here. We got all these other things that we're doing. We want those board members, when they come to our meeting, to reserve this little space right here. And hopefully it's clear enough where they can focus just on what we're, all these other things are going on in their head, right? Mm-hmm. But we need this space right here to be clear so that they can focus in on what we're discussing. But if we are in this board meeting for 4 hours or 3 hours, we're not being productive. No decisions are being made. The person is not engaged. They got all these other things competing for that space. And after a while, you see they're writing the grocery list.
It's something, you know, that we talk about in the resource we're going to share at the end of the podcast for the audience. It's called designing the alliance. Like, in other words, being very clear that for whatever time you have for the board meeting, let's say it's an hour and a half, which is a good recommendation for a small to medium-sized nonprofit, that you be present for the entirety of the meeting, that you not be texting, that you not be doing email, that you are present for your board members and for the discussion, and that you contribute. So that's something in a resource we're going to share with the audience on being. So there's like the doing of a board, and then there's the what you do, you know, as board members, but there's a way you be as a board member. And one of the things, you know, we recommend that people design when they're on boards is that they have a conscious conversation about being present during board. Sometimes people don't even talk about that, like design a ground rule like that, you know, like be present. Don't be like, you know, back, you know, yes, okay. If you have to clear that you have a sick child at home, then just say, oh, my daughter is home and she's not feeling well and I'm a little bit distracted. You can do that in a board meeting, but I'm here for you guys. I'm present.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's bringing up for me, it's like, I really, what you're both saying is, and I really like this and what you wrote, Crystal, is like, there's responsibility on both sides, you know, and I also thought you did a really great job. I'd really encourage people to go and read the blog for all the details, but you talk about the Bill of Rights. So it's like board members deserve basic things, you know, and they can't be successful without those things. And then on the flip side, it's like the organization has its needs, you know, and so I think that the work you do, like you said, it's very fulfilling because it's kind of like you're marrying those two things, right? Like what the individual board members need and then what the organization needs to get from those.
Yes.
Board members.
And you know, board work is serious work, no doubt, but it should be enjoyable. This should be a fun, who wants to do something that they absolutely, we know we put things off that we don't enjoy doing. So who wants to go to a board meeting when they're like, oh God, I don't want to go to this. So, you know, you start your board meeting off with a little social time. You know, people come in, particularly if it's after work, they might be snackish. You want to have a little snack. You might even have some soft music playing. Depending on where you are, just to kind of get people to relax. And this is the time for people to, you know, to mingle. Hey, Jim, how you been? What's going on with the kids? How was that meeting? Blah, 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 before you start your meeting. And then when you start your meeting, maybe you have a mission moment where you might talk about something extraordinary that's happened at the organization since you last met, some kind of big win or accomplishment to make people feel good about being there and about the work that they're doing. And then be ready, start on time, have your agenda, have your documents, your reports and everything. The people who are supposed to be reporting out, make sure they're in the room, make sure that they're ready when it's their time, make sure the projector works and the PowerPoint is moving where. So, I mean, make sure that you're honoring people's time so that everything is going smoothly and people feel good. Okay, I came and I had a little social time. They were real expeditious about making sure this meeting ran through smoothly. And then afterwards, you may even have a little bit more social time. Make sure everyone knows when the next meeting is. Thank everyone profusely for being there, for their time, for their energy, for their brain cells. Let them know what we have coming up. We have an event on the 18th. You know, make sure everyone's apprised of what's going on at the the organization. Remember, we need you to fill out that survey, whatever it is. But your job is to keep them apprised, keep them engaged, and make this a fun life, even though it's serious work. I don't want to give you the impression that we're going to be playing cards or Big Whiz or anything. No, we're going to be working, but we want to make sure that this is an enjoyable experience, that people feel like when I put my time and energy, when I leave the kids at home, when I leave the husband at home, I'm coming to do something productive that I enjoy.
Yeah. And I think that speaks again to the idea, like everybody needs to be engaged. Cause I know for me, like I've had some outstanding board experiences, like, and it was fun. I mean, like so much fun and so much growth and learning and like so much that I could bring back to my job. Right. And, but when I think about what you're saying, Crystal, like it was because everybody was engaged and like, and responsible and accountable, you know, like you weren't sort of like, you knew if somebody was working in the conference, they were working on the conference and it was right. going to be great. And what about you, David? Like you've had a lot of board experience too. What have been your sort of highlights that have made a good experience?
Yeah, what I like about what you wrote in the article, Crystal, is like the orientation for board members is super important. And I've been on boards where that has been good and not so good. But I want to actually hear your thoughts about even prior to the orientation, there's the conversation that happens when you are being recruited onto a board. And I think this is actually probably one of the most important conversations to have with prospective board members. Like, this is what this board is all about. We think you have qualities that would, you know, character and qualities, and that would be super helpful. And this is what it takes to be a member of this board. And really get clear. And the one part of that conversation, especially on nonprofit boards, that other board members shy away from, and I'm interested in your opinion of this, is just my opinion, but is, and this is what we expect from you in terms of your donation each year.
So and say time more, and commitment, like
yeah, all time, of it. Time and commitment, right? And money. Like, let's not shy away from this money conversation right at the get-go, because if folks get up, you don't say that, and then they get their orientation and you don't say that, and then they get on the board and somebody asks you for money, it's like, what do you mean? You wanted me for my service, or you wanted me for my intellect, and you wanted me for my good looks. That's the one I get a lot, by the way. You know, they always want me for my good looks. Anyway, I'm curious about your, what you have to say about that.
Yeah. And so this topic is really comfortable for me because I do board searches, right? And so I have a couple of them I'm doing now. And so I'm usually the very first face that prospective board members see, because I receive the applications, I then interview first. And so what I say about the organization, which is why it's important for me as a consultant to do my due diligence to make sure that I understand the mission, that I understand the culture, that I understand what the board is trying to achieve, what the commitment is in terms of time, how much money they have to give, all those things I have to know upfront. I review the bylaws, I do all my research, so that when I do start vetting my candidates and I'm interviewing them and I'm presenting the organization to them, I'm trying to excite them. I want to share all the good things about this organization. I share who's supporting them. They just received a $100,000 grant from AT&T. You know, the board chair just got his PhD. You know, 50% of the staff are also volunteers. All of the staff give, you know, I'm trying to sell this nonprofit to this potential board candidate. And also, you know, the time commitment is once a month. We expect out of the 12 meetings, the expectation is that you'll make at least 10 of them. Mm-hmm. The annual give or get is $1,000. We want every board member to be involved in at least one committee. We will be sending out, should you be invited to serve, a letter of agreement that will indicate all of these things, and also a place for you to indicate what you can commit to. Would you like to have a reception at your office or at your home? Will you bring 3 new prospective board members to the organization in the next year? Are you willing to purchase a table at our event, like whatever it is that your commitment is. And so we do a letter of agreement right at the onset. So the person knows and can say, and each letter might be a little different because some people can commit to some things, some people cannot. And then mid-year, when we do our board evaluation and our self-evaluations, we revisit those letters. Okay, so we said you said you were gonna attend 10 meetings. Well, it looks like you've only attended 6. Do you have the time? Maybe this is not a good time. You said you were going to give 1,000, you've only given 700. Will you still be able to give that 1,000? Should we revise the contract or can we come up with a payment plan? Like, so this is accountability, right?
Wow. So, I wish I was on your board, Chris.
No, so from the onset, we're letting them know what the expectations are. We have it in writing and then we revisit it and we give them an opportunity to change. Maybe you got laid off. Maybe you can no longer commit to 1,000. Maybe you can only do 500. That's okay.
Boy, I think a lot of nonprofits would be well served by reaching out to you, especially to help them recruit and retain. Maybe, can you say a little bit about retention? Because I know we've been talking about how to set up the expectations and then how to have conversations if someone's not working out or it's just, you know, it's gone on too long. But I'm curious about what your thoughts are on retention.
So retention, you know, board members are, you know, you have to cultivate board relationships like you cultivate donor relationships, right? And so as the chief development officer, when I was working inside the organization, my job was to keep that board engaged in addition to the board chair and the development chair. So I knew birthdays, you know, I knew anniversaries. I talked to board members to learn a little bit about them. And so that I would say, you know, how was your wife's surgery? Or congratulations on your daughter being, you know, valedictorian of her class. Or are you ready for your son's wedding? How's that plans going, you know? And so you're building these relationships with the board. And I would always tell my board chair, you need to be meeting with your board members at least twice a year for an in-person or a phone call or something, just a check-in. Mm-hmm. How's it going? Are you enjoying the experience? Is anything we can be doing better to make this experience better for you? I want to make sure as the board chair that you are engaged. And that we're getting the best out of you and you're getting the best out of us, right? And so this is why I say this is like an unpaid job because it is a huge responsibility to mm-hmm. be a board chair and a board member. And so people really need to think seriously before they sign up to be on the board, whether or not it's the right time for them, you know, whether or not they have provisions for childcare or for elder care so they can attend meetings. Whether they have the financial means to make a $1,000 donation, whether or not they're willing to connect with friends and peers to invite them to events or to invite them to like a post on Facebook. Like, do you have the time, the space, and the energy to dedicate to this right now? And if you don't, this is not a good time and it's okay. But if you do, then you need to jump in and we expect you to do all that you said you were gonna do.
Yeah, I think it's so powerful. Like, I think what I'm really taking away and, you know, and I can see for myself in situations that I've been in the past that I think sometimes we overplay the, and I think this happens for a reason because sometimes, especially smaller charities struggle to find good board members, right? But there's a way that we overplay the positives of like the, how great the organization is. And I think what you're really pointing us to, which is so important, is to clearly lay out the expectations. And I love that you do them in writing at the beginning and that then there is like an actual checkpoint that is built in so you can say like, are you on track? Because, you know, I think what like what you're really pointing to is the last thing that you want to do is have to fire somebody. I mean, you know, we all agree about that. And part of setting people up for success is to say like, if things are going off the rails at the 6-month point, then how do we get them back on the rails? You know, or allow them to say that, yes, I made a mistake. This is, or something, circumstances changed. It's no longer the right time for me. I think that's so powerful. And I hope everyone's taking notes because I bet a lot of organizations are not doing well, it like in such a clear way that you are.
I'm actually hoping that, yes, everyone's taking notes. And I want to say, don't try this at home. Here's what I mean by that. Having served on boards and not having had the types of structures that you are suggesting, Crystal, I can so see now from this conversation how helpful engaging someone like you would be for a board. because having a engaged, healthy, inspired, well-functioning board is critical for the organization. And so I could really see the benefit of at least initially spending time with you and either rewriting the ship, or if you're starting out as a newer nonprofit, getting it, laying in a foundation right from the get-go, or if the board is, it could be a huge relief just to, as a board member, to grapple with some of these, you know, things with the help of a consultant like you. It's just, so I'm encouraging the audience to reach out to you, really, honestly.
Thank you. And you know, one thing I want to say is the other thing that's really important from the very beginning is transparency. And so I have also, when I, you know, while my job is to sell the organization, I do know some of the weaknesses, right? And so I share those with potential candidates too. You know, I might say, you know, the executive director is new. And so she's going to need some handholding, right? This is the first time that she's had a position at this, you know, at this level. And so she's really going to need the support from the board, or the board realizes that they're not as diverse as they like to be. And so they're really looking to bring on some diversity. And we're looking for people of color. We're looking for women. We're looking for younger people. We're looking for people with disabilities. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, with your skill set and your talent and your connections and who you are, you fit the bill perfectly. And so I'm honest with them going in that we are intentional about, you know, about wanting you to be on the board for all of those reasons. I might also say we realize that we're not doing a great job with fundraising. We're not engaging our donors the best way we can. And so we really need your help, since you're a fundraiser, to come on board and help us with some ways that we can better engage our donors. So I'm really transparent about the good things and maybe some of the weaknesses the organization is experiencing. So the person knows when they come in what they're walking into. We don't want them blindsided, like, oh my God, they're having this kind of financial trouble. I might say, yeah, the board was doing, the budget was really not looking great 2 years ago, but thank God we've recovered in the last year. But you should know that we had some financial problems 2 years ago. We had to lay off 4 or 5 people, you know? Mm-hmm. So being honest about all of those things so the person doesn't walk in and blindsided by some history that may not have been shared.
Yeah. I think that's really what's hitting me, is like, it's like, there's so much to it. It's like, yes, you have to sell the organization. I think often a good job is done in that sense, but, and then you have to set the clear expectations. And I think a much better job for most organizations could be done in that. Then you have to check in on those expectations and make sure you're supporting the person in meeting them. You know, if something's getting in their way, it's your job to help them. And like you did say something in your article, which I love, which is like, everybody's responsible for this. You know, it's not the executive director, it's not the board chair, right? It's like everybody. And then, like you said, it's also being really transparent about where the board is and where the organization is at this point in time. And I think a lot of times those conversations happen behind the scene of like, oh, we need X, Y, and Z for this reason. But I love what you're saying. It's like, well, if you need that, then actually go out and talk to your potential board members and claim them based on what it is that you need. You know, it shouldn't be a secret why you're trying to pick up that person at that moment in time.
And that's one of the the questions. So after I normally meet with the candidates, then I turn them over to the nominating committee to also interview them. And I tell them to have, when they ask you, do you have any questions, just like you do for a job interview, have your questions ready. When they ask you, well, do you have any questions of us? Ask them, why are you interested in having me on your board? You know, like, what role do I fill? What role do I serve? And, you know, if your board is hemming and hawing and not being honest with you by saying, well, we do need a fundraiser. Actually, we need more women. We need more people of color. We don't have anyone with your background. We've done our matrix. We know that we have some gaps. And so actually you help us to fill one of those gaps that we have on our board. And you want your board to be transparent about that. So I tell my candidates, have your questions, because you need to make sure that this is the right board for you and they have some accountability to you as well.
Yes, it's very flattering when someone asks you to be on board. I have many times volunteered for things because I've been flattered. And then a year later, I'm like, oh, what did I do?
Yeah, no, I think it's the candor that you're suggesting in these conversations is critical. And if there was one thing you would want the audience to try, what would it be? Because we've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah. Well, you know, before you make the move, of course, you need to have, you know, provisions in your bylaws. If you have to, if you're looking at someone and you're like, I really don't know whether this person is serving the organization optimally anymore, maybe we do need to make change. Before you do that, you know, have a sit down with that person and just, you know, the board chair, maybe the governance chair, and with coffee in a relaxed setting, and just say, listen, we're doing a reset. You know, we're looking at our board. We want to make sure that we're doing the best that we can for this organization. And we want to make sure that all of our members are engaged and giving their very best. And you seem to be a little distant. And we wanted to just check in with you to see how things are going. Do you feel like this is still a good fit? If this is still a good time for you to serve on the board? What can we do to help engage you more? And this might be a time the person might be looking for now. Oh my God, I'm so glad you came to me. I'm just so overwhelmed. Things are crazy at the job. I don't think I have time to do this anymore. I really didn't know how to say it. So you want to give them an out. Or they might say, you know, I'm glad you came to me. I've not been engaged. I didn't know what to do to get more engaged. And so I'm really interested in, you know, in serving on the event planning committee. Our gala is coming up and I would really like to serve on that committee. I didn't know how to ask. I didn't know what to do to get more involved, but if you can help me with that, then yes, I would like to stay on the board. So you want to have that conversation first. You don't want to just come in and say, listen, you're a lousy board member. We're out of here, buddy.
Unless you're in New York, then you can do it that way. You're lousy. You're out. No, that's not what we're recommending, folks. Here's what Crystal is recommending. It's something that Janice and I actually train nonprofit leaders in, the art of candor, radical candor. It's a way of caring personally and yet challenging directly. And I think this is where you're pointing the audience who may have a difficult conversation, have to have what may be a quote unquote difficult conversation with a board member, care personally about the individual and challenge them directly. Like, this doesn't seem to be working out for you and for us anymore. What's going on? That's what I hear you saying.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can read the book Radical Candor by Kim Scott if you need if you need some advice on that.
Yeah. I was just gonna add, as fundraisers, you know, we're used to having difficult conversations. We're used to asking and hearing no a lot.
Right.
We're used to having to respond to rebuttals. Like, so for me, I'm comfortable doing this work and actually saying those hard things, even though it might be uncomfortable. It just has to be done.
Yeah. If you've got a lot of discomfort or it's a delicate situation, then reach out to Crystal and she can help you with that. Or if you just want to learn more about Radical Candor, get a copy of that book or reach out to Janice and me, because we are experts in coaching people on how to have conversations like that. So either way, you've got lots of resources. So let's bring it home, Janice.
Yeah. And we'll link the Crystal on the show notes so everybody can reach out and find her. And thank you so much. Like I said, I was excited because this is a topic that we haven't covered before. So it's always fun when we find somebody with the passion and wisdom to talk about something new. So today's podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. We provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results. And we'd love for you to subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And also, if you enjoy the show, we'd love you to be able to support us. You can become a monthly or annual contributor to help us continue to bring this thoughtful content. It supports our production costs and keeps the show ad-free. And there's a link in the show notes of how to do that. And our resource for the week, which David mentioned earlier, is a free ebook called Being a Nonprofit Leader, a Guide for Board Members. So, you know, just click on that. And as Crystal said, I think we have two something to try. One is reach out to her because you probably need help. And the second one is, you know, how to sort of have that conversation to reframe how things are going with a challenging board member. But, you know, before you have to say goodbye. Yes. So we invite you to go put that into practice.